are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So when it comes to economic empowerment, the church can be the cheerleader that helps individuals and families rise up from financial struggles. It's not just charity. It's about creating pathways to prosperity. Let's explore how churches can offer support and resources that empower their congregations to thrive economically. We are joined on the line once again by Pastor Chinyama, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you, my moderator. Good morning, dear listeners.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming through once again. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Father, in a very special way, we humble ourselves, we humble our hearts in humble adoration before your throne. May you be with us. May you bless us even as we continue again and conclude this program in how we can empower one another between the church and the community. Lord, may you bless us. May you speak to us, speak to somebody out there, and help us find a solution that will be a lasting, something that will bring a lasting solution to the hearts of somebody out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what financial literacy programs can the church implement to support their congregations?
All right. Money issues, money matters, very important. So what can the church do to maintain this thing? The church should be able to offer money management training programs, And how can this be done? In the course of the study, since we are concluding, we have looked at how we can make ourselves available to professionals in different things. So we will find people that are professionals, those that are even lecturers in these universities that train, financial subjects or courses. So we can call upon them, find their schedule. Then they can offer money management training programs or skills, short courses to the congregants. And ultimately, that can partner and blend in with the community. And how do we do that? Identify those who love arithmetics and also accounting programs, then train these. These can in turn train their colleagues. And by so doing, we will have a full-time human resource of people that know money management issues and accounting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how can churches now partner with local businesses to create job opportunities for for community members, you know? And also, how do we avoid, hiring our family members over those that are qualified? Yeah.
Okay, no, it's a good one. Actually, it's not really hiring family members. You can hire anyone, even family, as long as they are qualified for that work and you are striking a balance. I think there is no problem with hiring the family member. Now, how can the churches partner with the local businesses to create job opportunities for community members? Well, firstly, the churches should identify what the local businesses around there or in the nearest, furthest place, that identify what they are offering, And then if they find out, we have a car hiring company within our terrain or a kilometer from where our faith house is, well, inquire, do they have sufficient drivers? And then if they don't, we inquire from our own members, pass some announcement there, the elder, the deacon, or whoever. We'll, run some announcement. If there are those young men, vibrant, and you have your driver's license, please see us after the service. And then, offer, get the names, do that interview, and offer recommendations, to those local businesses, ventures that are running. And by so doing, we are giving those local people a potential, a human resource muscle. And by so doing, we are partnering with them because at least they'll be guaranteed. You say, these people from the church, I think the behavior is a bit better. Not so, they shouldn't be so much into women, into drinking. At least we are getting people that are sober. So we need to partner with the local business by identifying what they do. If at all there is a catering company, there's a restaurant, why not if we find out from our youths? We have youths, many young ladies, those that know how to cook, recommend them there. And by so doing, we will have a happy community and a happy church, because the community cannot stand without the church cannot stand without the community, because each comes from another. The community comes from the church comes from the community. We need each other. So we need to partner and create as much job opportunities as possible.
Indeed. So looking at, we're having a lot of issues that affect, the economy and everything else. So how can these faith communities address issues of economic disparity? You know, I don't know there in Zambia, but here in South Africa, for example, I think when the new government came in, the democracy, it was a matter of, BEE, all of those things, women being put forward, for employment in order, to balance the scales there, and also looking at your race. Are you white? Are you black? Are you Indian? When it came to hiring there. So how can the churches now work around, or address those economic disparities?
Okay. The church is a place where we find fair ground. There is, we have highly educated people there, and we have even those that are maybe poorly educated or no education at all. But when we get to the ground of the church, the faith community, we are all called by one name, children of God. This is why we refer to each other as brothers and sisters. The whole judge comes to church, the whole minister comes, but well, he's not honorable there. He's a brother, he's a sister. In short, what happens there should be the same even when we go out there in the economy, you see. So the church should be responsible by eliminating all causes of economic disparity. Yes. Disparity will always be there. This is why the poor will always be among us. But where we need to eliminate all causes of economic disparity, such as what? Showing no signs of partiality. Not only focusing on those that are well-to-do, dear congregants, let us also see those that are not well-to-do. What can we, if they are not well-to-do, then no one has reached out to them, because there is somebody here, they are not well-to-do, but they are loaded in their mind, in their heart, with a lot of potential. So we shouldn't show any signs of being biased to only those that are doing something. Let us also go to them that have literally nowhere to start from, and we be the people that will give them the first step, the stepping stone, and then we'll be surprised. Everyone will be empowered economically. Everyone, if everyone is sound economically, they will concentrate. They will not be absent-minded. They will come to the faith community and invite others. So the church should remember that it should proclaim God's demands of justice and fairness, and also protection of the poor, because the poor also are as important as the rich. The rich don't bury themselves. The rich also need to be buried and cared for by the poor. So we all have that common ground where we meet. So the church, the faith community, should really eliminate all causes of economic disparity by showing fairness. I think that's what I can put up there.
Yes. So I always argue this one, Mfundisine, that not everyone is business minded or is gifted in terms running a business or opening a business, but how can the church now, encourage those with the gift, entrepreneurship and support those small business development? Because I believe it won't help for example, when I'm encouraged to, I open a business as Zuzanele, and I don't even have the smallest, not even knowledge, but passion or the gift for running a business. For me, it's a waste. But anyway, others argue differently. So how can we, the churches go about encouraging for entrepreneurship and also small business development?
Okay, correct. One of the best illustrations in the Bible, amongst many others that are there, of entrepreneurship is the parable of the talents. You see, we find that, for example, in Matthew 25:14 downwards there, Matthew 25:14, one is given one talent, one is given two, one is given five. So the two, the one with two and five, they trade them. The one with one hibernates it and hides it. Already that's a sign of laziness. All of them, they are all members of the community, given equally according to their abilities, but one of them decides to sit on it. Why? Because he was lazy, and he wanted to just receive but not work. So as a body of faith, we can encourage the motion of entrepreneurship by lifting up all those who are showing signs of at least doing something. When the master came, after he came back from his journey, according to the parable of the talents, he analyzed all of them. You, where's your report, and your report. So the two gave a good report and they were promoted. So we should lift up all people that are showing signs of at least doing something. Here is somebody, they beg, they are your friend on WhatsApp. You see their WhatsApp, what do you call those? Status or story, Facebook, some cap, help them advertise. Okay, am I still there? Am I still in studio?
Sorry, yes, we can hear you, Pastor. You can continue.
Okay, so in other ways, lifting up all people that are showing signs. For example, we've got friends and they put up, they bake some scones, some cake, beautiful looking, not just in sight, but also in taste. Why not advertise for them on a bigger range as a church? Advertise and then call all for all those that are doing weddings, kitchen parties, chilanga muliros, to say, hire this one for your cooking, hire this one for your decor. And by so doing, we will encourage entrepreneurship, because an entrepreneur is made successful by the followers. So the more we give them followers and customers, I think we will be able to lift them. Those in transportation industry, here's somebody, they bought their small beautiful car, they can run this online taxi. Here in Zambia we have Yango and so on. I don't know, in South Africa maybe there's Uber, there's all these online things. Encourage members, those that want to hire cars, to engage in these members that we have that have these vehicles. By so doing, we encourage them. And that, or if there's someone with some spare cash, just help one of the gentlemen or two by saying, no, I will pay road tax for the whole year for even three youths and so on. By so doing, we will encourage members to have a happy church,
yeah,
and a happy community.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So do we have any successful stories, Mfundisi, where churches have made a meaningful impact in economic development?
Okay, success stories. Okay, so a story comes because something has occurred,
yes,
something has taken place. So we have churches whose works have been seen by themselves because of the good things they've done for people. Those people will not stay silent. They will go out, know me, for me to be here where I am. It's such and such a church that empowered me up to here. For me, for my daughter to be where they are, my son to be where they are, it's this particular congregation. So praise be to God. Even in our congregation, we also have a higher body, well-organized, well-coordinated, and it comes and brings relief to all members of the community, even members of the church. And we have seen success documentaries that have been shown. Others, houses have been built for them. Others, clothes have been built for them. Others, permanent things have been done for them. So I think the issue of success stories, yes, we have. And these have made a meaningful impact in economic development. It was something that someone was hoping the government, the Republic of that country, would do for them. This faith-based community has done it for them. So not mentioning other congregations, yeah, we do have success stories,
yeah,
and confessed stories of people that have shown, said, no, me, this is the evidence here.
Yeah.
And and people have ultimately become financially independent for life, those that are wise.
We do say thank you there, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for coming through throughout the whole week to come and talk to us about this topic. I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer, wrapping up the whole week?
Let us pray. King of kings and Lord of lords, we glorify your holy name this lovely morning. We thank you because of who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for leading us throughout this series of a study in which we were looking at ways in which we can be a brother's keeper, not only for the congregation, but also for the world at large. Now, give us soft hearts, give us a humble mind, give us wisdom on how we can trade upon these issues. Let us not be people that only speak, but let us people be people that both speak and do. And Lord, may you bless all our efforts Those that do not have, may you provide for them through somebody, because you're a God who provides through somebody. Lord, may you bless each one of us even as we prepare for the Sabbath. May you keep us under the shadow of your wings and help us to always meditate upon your law day and night. Preserve us from all harm and danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Fundisi, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.